What's going on, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Top Bins Talk. I am your host, as always, Marcin Kaczmarski. We're here with my co-host, Tim. Say what's up, Tim.
Hey, everybody. Miss y'all.
And here today, we have a very special episode. We have a little bit of a midweek upload for you guys here with a special guest for one of the new series that we're running in terms of football fashion. So we have Ebon from Live Breathe Football here today. Say what's up to everybody.
What's up, y'all? How you guys doing?
So we wanted to kind of kick this series off with a brand apparel line that I've essentially been following for the last year. Football fashion is obviously a huge part of obviously football in general. Obviously, you have cleats, you have team apparel and all that kind of stuff. But football fashion kind of, I think, gets pushed to the wayside a little bit. So we wanted to kind of do this series to kind of bring to light more football fashion brands that you may have not have heard of, or just companies that we think are doing a great job, deserve a little bit of extra spotlight. So that's why we kind of decided to kick this series off. Obviously, I'm going to now kind of push this over to Ebon so he can kind of introduce the brand and kind of just introduce himself in general. So take it away.
So my name is Ebon. I was born and raised in Nigeria. I'm the CEO and founder of Live Breathe Football, which is a soccer lifestyle apparel brand that I started about 9 years ago as a junior at Temple University in Philly. So I was born in Nigeria. I grew up playing soccer. It was my life. You know what I mean? I just loved everything about it. And then basically how I started the brand was just, you know, I was a college kid. All my buddies, everyone I was friends with, we met playing football. You know, we'd skip class to play soccer. I'd skip tests and everything to play soccer. On my 21st birthday, I was like, man, before going out to get drunk, I should do something to really make this moment special. So I made 21 shirts that said Live Breathe Football on them and threw them up on the internet, and they sold out in a couple of hours. And that was kind of really how the brand got started. But really the idea behind Live Breathe Football was to create a fashionable lifestyle brand that you can wear when you're not playing soccer, you know what I mean? And still be fashionable, still be cool, but still rep your love for the game, right? For me, I think everyone else who loves soccer, it's not just a love. It's not just something you're into, you're really fully committed. You know what I mean? For me, I'm 30 years old now and I still play regularly. I mean, not right now during coronavirus, but you know, as much as I can, I get to play still 3 times a week usually. So it's still a big and important part of my life. Even if I wasn't running Live Breathe Football, I'd still be, in soccer in some way, shape or form. So I wanted to create something that celebrated that for people who have that same obsession with the game that I do. You know, we just spent 10, 15 minutes talking about boots before even jumping on this call right now. Because for me, it's just such a big part of my life, right? I'm a soccer nerd, you know, first and foremost. So I was can I create something that celebrated that love that we have for the game, but still make something fashionable? Because at the time when I first started the brand, there wasn't really any football fashion the way we have now. You know what I mean? At the time, there was maybe us and two other brands, you know? But now there's a ton more options, which I think is amazing. That's really kind of where LBF is. It's just to make the dopest streetwear, lifestyle clothing for people who love football.
Cool. Well, we're going to ask you one major question, and I think this is going to sway a lot of people's opinions right now. What club do you support?
The greatest football club in the world, Arsenal.
Ooh.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Okay. So I've been a Juventus fan for 20 years now almost. So I've followed Juve since the early 2000s, since 2001, where I caught a game in Torino when I was still living in Poland. So I was born and raised in Poland. I went on vacation with my family to Italy, and we caught a Torino Juve game, and I saw Pavel Nedved play. And ever since that moment, he's been one of my favorite players, obviously, of all time. He's what got me into following Juve and being a Juve supporter, to the point where now I have Juve tattooed on my body. So forever fino alla fine.
Dan, what about you?
Ooh, well, you know, so I love Roma. Roma is my club of legends, absolutely. But the reason I went, Arsenal, is because, you know, Pep this, Klopp that, but we both, actually all three of us know, at the end of the day, the father of modern football has got to be Mr. Arsene Wenger.
Arsene Wenger.
I mean, he changed the game in the Prem, did he not? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah. So yeah. For me, it was so growing up in Nigeria, right? Like we were watching Super Eagles. So like, you know, we were watching Kanu, you're coaching all these guys. So when Kanu first went to Arsenal, obviously then everyone becomes an Arsenal fan. And then I started watching Arsenal. Then like I discovered Thierry Henry and like, who's my favorite player of all time. And I was like, okay, that's it. I'm an Arsenal fan. So I was like, what, 7 or 8 at the time, something like that. And then that's when I first fell in love with Arsenal. And it's been like a crazy relationship ever since. Obviously, you know, went through the 9-year trophy drought, like that would really test your fandom as a fan. But like, I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, we're always a banter club. There's a lot of jokes about Arsenal, but it's like, that's how I know it's true love, because like I can never, it doesn't matter whether we're successful or not. Like I'll still wake up at 6 o'clock and, you know, and watch that team play, because that's just really who has my heart.
So
yeah, for sure. I remember
Thierry Henry was your favorite of all time. Then who has got to be your current favorite player?
For Arsenal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mesut Ozil.
Oh, he gets so much hate, though. He's just...
To me, like, he's like one of those once-in-a-generation type players. You know what I mean? Like, just his vision, the way he sort of can split the defense. Like, yeah, people talk about he doesn't run, he doesn't work hard. Like, I don't care about all those things. I don't really watch soccer or watch people run, honestly. Like, to me, it's like watching art. You know what I mean? Like, the way he plays the game... Very few people play the game like that anymore. So I just love the fact that he can split a defense with one pass, or he can just, you know, just the way he like moves. Yeah, like I'm just a huge Ozil fan for sure.
And he has a really cool book collection. If you've seen the photos from training over the last few days, he's busted out some old school.
Comes out with. So apparently he just lost his deal with Adidas. They're not going to renew his deal. So I think that's why he just wearing older stuff, because he doesn't have to wear the latest boots. But dude, he's got some heat, man. Whenever I see those training photos, I'm like, if I ever met Ozil, the first thing I would do is just raid his boot closet. That's the first thing I would do. If I ever meet a player, I don't care. I don't need an autograph. Just give me some boots you have laying around. Because you know these guys get some like really special edition stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, hot take when it comes to Ozil, and I think we would all have to agree on this, that man gave his prime years to Arsenal, and to, like, to throw hate on him just because he hasn't put the most effort is nuts. It's just like,
My thing is, like, I think part of it, he's also kind of caught in, like, he's sort of an in-between generations player in terms of, like, he came from a generation where people still valued, like, the country, like they can watch you play and be like, okay, yeah, this guy's a mastermind. He's a genius. He knows what he's doing. I don't care if he runs or not, right? And then he's also not playing a generation where we care about like everything's all metrics and like stats and like, you know, how much effort players put, how far they run and all those things. Like to me, how far you're running is not really a metric of effort, because if you're running up and down the wing and you're wasting your energy, that's not productive in my opinion. So yeah, I think you're right in that like he gets a lot of hate for no reason, because again, I'm not watching soccer to watch guys run. I'm watching them to be effective, you know, in terms of being creativity and his ability to unlock a defense. And just, I mean, that chip shot he does, it's just like, who else can invent a way of popping the ball? Like, come on. It's just like, yeah. So for me, he's one in, you know, he's one. Like, I mean, like Zidane won the Ballon d'Or and scored, what, 3 goals that season? Because then people understood that, like, it's not just about scoring goals and effort. Like, there's things you do on the pitch that you can't really measure. And I love Ozil for that, you know. So he's always my guy for that.
Yeah, Mesut Ozil is definitely one for the generations, especially with his love for old-school Adidas boots. Yeah. So obviously, we talked about you growing up in Nigeria, which is awesome, like you getting into football there. Have you always played football like from since you remember as a little kid, or did you get into football like later on in life? What's your story with football?
It's been for as long as I can remember. Like growing up in Nigeria, so we lived in this place called it's basically like a campus sort of. So my parents were doctors, so like we lived on the campus of like the teaching hospitals where like, you know, they worked at. And directly across the street was the school that I went to, the primary school I went. But then we had this massive dirt field in the middle of that. So every day I would play soccer to the point that, like, you know, you could see my my house from the field. And my dad was, okay, you need to be home by 7 o'clock every day, right? And he even bought me a watch, like with an alarm clock set to 7 p.m. And every single day, I would hear the alarm go off, I would turn it off, right, and keep playing till like 8 when it got dark. And my dad's on the balcony yelling for me, and I'm still playing. Because like I just, for me, I'd rather like play an extra hour and get in trouble when I got home than just like not, you know, not playing. And he's like, okay, you're grounded. And I'll be grounded for a couple of days. And I'd go, Dad, can I please go play soccer? Fine. And then I'd go out again and just. So for me, it's always been a part of my life. You know what I mean? And obviously, then moving to here in America, playing club, playing high school. Yeah, it's for me, like, it's my life. You know what I mean? And I knew very early on, like, you know, if I don't become a professional, which I was never good enough to be, I need to do something with soccer, because otherwise I would not be happy.
It's a huge part of you.
Yeah, it's I would like to say I'm 90% soccer and then 10% everything else. I'm just all about the game, you know what I mean? And like I just feel really fortunate that like we get to live in a time where it's so accessible to us. We can watch all the amount of games we can on TV. We've got a great league here that I play in. So like, yeah, it's like, it's when I say live, breathe football, like I couldn't call it anything else, because that was really what, you know, my life was about. You know what I mean? All my close friends, like everyone I'm really tight with till this day, like we've all met playing soccer. You know, like that was really like how. So it's been like the foundation for a lot of the important things in my life.
What do you think is like the biggest difference in terms of like football and culture from where you grew up in like Nigeria to now living in Philadelphia in the States? Like what do you think is the biggest like difference football wise or like that you've noticed over the years?
I mean, so I would say like in Nigeria, it was. And I mean, this is most other places, parts of the world, is soccer is the main thing, right? Like, it's hard to say, oh, it's just a sport that people like. It's like a religion for people. You know what I mean? Like, growing up in Nigeria, like, whenever the Super Eagles won, like, it was everyone was partying on the streets. Like, it was a big deal, you know? We would gather, like, different people's houses to just, like, watch the game. So, like, so coming from that, where it was a huge part of, like, our life, and then coming to America, where, like, you know, Did you watch the Eagles game this weekend? Like, no. Did you watch the Phillies? No, I didn't watch the Phillies. But like, I watched the Union game, right? So for me, like, it's been definitely different in terms of like that, where it's hard being so passionate about a sport that like is not even like the top three most popular sport in our city, let alone the country. But the good thing about that is because there's a much smaller group of people that are into it, it's a much more like tight knit community that I love. So I'm really well connected here in like the Philly soccer scene, and just like. Obviously having the Union out in Chester and just getting to know a lot of people here in the city, like it's still a big part of my life. So I've been really involved in, you know, like the league here. I was on the board for a couple of seasons. It's even different projects that I'm part of. It's just all based off of, you know, my, you know, proximity to the game. But yeah, that's a big difference is like in terms of how big the sport is, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you mentioned that obviously you're doing all these things in Philadelphia. Now I want to kind of shift this conversation over to your brand. So you have a collab with Kansas City. Why do you have a collab with Kansas City and not, for example, the Union? Is it what happened there that made you want to go and do a partnership with Kansas City for your brand?
So I have to start off by saying everything we've done has always been organic, right? And we never try to force things. Like I've never like, you're like, oh, we're a Philly brand, so we have to do a thing with the Union. Even though I would love to do, and I have tried to do with the Union. But the Kansas City thing just happened organically. So back in 2013, we had done, when CJ Sapong was playing for Sporting KC, we linked up with him. We did a small like capsule collection with him as a player. So from that point on, we established a relationship with people in Kansas City. Then back in 2016, when MLS All-Star was here in America, when Arsenal was here in America playing MLS All-Stars in San Jose, I got connected with a guy who runs Sporting KC sort of brand and merch division. And he was like, hey, I love LBF. I think you guys are doing pretty cool stuff. Like, we should collaborate on something. And I was like, okay, cool. So then he kind of put that whole thing in motion. So again, it kind of just happened organically. You know what I mean? He's a huge fan of the brand. He's a huge fan of like he and I are a lot into a lot of the same things in terms of like brands and just like things that we think are cool. So we kind of connected off of that, and then the partnership came from there. With the Union, we've definitely tried, but again, I just don't think it's something that's a priority for them. So, you know, that's again, thing with partnerships, it has to go both ways. So, again, they're the hometown team. I'd always love to work with them if that opportunity ever presents itself. But we just never really found maybe the right time or the right story to tell. So,
cool.
That's really it.
Yeah. So, on the subject, so that's something really. So, being associated to, you know, to KC now is really cool, because, you know, only through football, like with that, with something interesting like that really take place, you know. Right. Like, and that's the point to, you know, to your brand and to your identity, is like is really interesting conversations like that can be had with football, and that's a really strong positive. However, there's no yin without the yang. You know, what do you find is a negative, and you could throw another positive as well, when it comes to trends in football and football apparel?
Ooh, man. For me, so I wouldn't say necessarily any trends that, like, I don't like. Because, again, everyone's doing everything in their own way. Everyone has sort of their own perspective. You know, and I think that's necessary for the space to grow. But I just don't like, there's, I also see a lot of, like, a lack of creativity and originality. Right, in a lot of brands, and like for me, that becomes very difficult to really like. Cause like for me, like I don't really care that like these people, like we're necessarily sort of, these are competitors of our brand, right? I just think again, it's all beneficial for like the customer at the end of the day. Like whoever is passionate about soccer, they need to have the best possible, you know, options available to them, right? I think the more options are, the better. But I just don't like when I see something, I'm like, oh man, this is cheap. This is like, you guys didn't really, like, take time to like develop this, or like, this is kind of a very, like a throwaway. And I think in a lot of situations, you see why a lot of brands don't last, you know what I mean? Not just in the football space, but just in like, in streetwear in general, is because like, you can't come in a space and try to like, and not bring anything new to the table. You know what I mean? Like for us, like, I think it's a testament to the power of our brand. Like we've been around for almost 10 years now. It's just because we're constantly evolving. It's never the same thing year over year. We're always trying to push ourselves, because I think that's what the sport, and I think that's what the space deserves. So the negative is that when I see people who aren't really as committed, and it might just be like a trend, oh, like soccer is becoming popular in America, that kind of thing, so let me ride this wave. And it's like, you can tell when that's the case, and like, they don't really care for the sport or the product that they're pushing. Like, that's when it's a negative to me. It's like, all right, man, come on. You could put a little bit more effort into this.
We're always on the same page, you saw that. As far as that goes, I really have to say I respect that, because it's not even as if you're saying that's a true negative on anybody specifically. You're really just saying, look, if you're going to operate in the space, like, give it the respect it deserves. So I gotta say it's a hot take, but it's, you know, it's pleasant at the same time. Like, that's a good, that was really great. But before Marcin cuts me off, I'll phase out on that.
No, you're good. No, what I was going to ask you, you've kind of seen, like, I mean, if you have a question, go ahead.
No, to respond to what Tim just said, is like, like for me, it's like, again, like to me, this is like I said, like I love the game so much, right? And that's why I'm so passionate and so committed to building this thing. It's because, again, I could have easily like gotten a job and like done something completely different or whatever. Like, there was so many opportunities to do that. Where I was just like, nah, like I love doing this, and I think I feel like I owe it to, or we owe it to the sport, and to just the fact that, like, okay, like we need to constantly evolve. When we started, it was like t-shirts, and then how do we make pants? How do we make jackets? And now we're gonna make a backpack. Like, for me, it's like constant elevation and like evolution. Like, you can't just stay the same and keep pulling out the same thing year over year. So in that sense, is like, you know, it's like, again, if you play on a team, right? And you're busting your ass at training, you're working hard. Like, you don't want your teammate next to you to putting 50% effort, because, like, they're shortchanging themselves. Then the team suffers as a whole because of that. So, all right, dude, like, you're not studying the plays. You're not, you know, you're not fit enough, whatever the case may be. You're not putting that same effort in. Like, it looks bad on everyone. Everyone suffers because of that, you know? So for me, that, I look at that the same way. It's like, yo, all right, cool. If you're going to come into this space, like, the greatest sport in the world deserves, at the very minimum, effort and consistency and dedication. And if you're not going to do that, then like, it makes it bad for everyone else, in my opinion. So that's just kind of my take on that. So I don't know if that's really a hot take. It's just more so like I don't hate on anybody. I'm like, oh man, this stuff is trash. Awesome. Just like, dude,
it's like, wholesome. It's here. Like, you happen to be with.
Like, I'll give. I'm like, there's a ton of brands in our space. And I'm like, yo, I wish we had thought of that. I wish we had done that, because again, it's like, you can tell, like, you know, game recognized game. Like, Messi never hates on Ronaldo. Like, yeah, fans kind of bicker back and forth, but like, they both respect each other because they know what it takes to really be at the top and in that position. So to me, it's the same thing. It's like, there's a bunch of people that are doing really cool stuff in this space, and I respect the hell out of them because it's like, yo, this is not easy, man. So to keep kind of pushing year after year is like, is respectable.
So you just said Messi and Ronaldo fans bicker. You know what I'm going to ask you next?
Yeah.
Your pick, one or the other, if you had to choose one.
If I had to choose one, I mean, it's hard for me. Again, in a lot of conversations in the past, I've said Ronaldo, simply from a work ethic perspective. And this is not to say Messi doesn't work hard, but if you look at the way Ronaldo's game has evolved over the years, it's like, it's so commendable because to me, I can relate to work ethic. I can relate to the fact that, like, yeah, I'll put in ungodly amount of hours to improve my game in any arena. You know what I mean? But then you have Messi, who's just like, he just does things that you can't even understand. Like, you have to, like, sometimes I'll watch Messi like clips in slow-mo just to try to like understand the physics of what he's just done, because it doesn't really make sense to me. So in that sense, it's hard to say, oh, to pick Ronaldo over Messi, because Messi's just like, he's an artist, he's a poet, and like, to me, those things matter as well. But like, from the sheer fact of like Ronaldo, like, you know, you can tell he worked and willed himself into this position. You know, there's a famous video of like them asking who's the best player in the world. It's like him, Anderson, Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah, I know what the video you're talking about. Yeah.
And they all say Maradona, Pele, and Ronaldo goes me, and they all laugh. And then you now look, you know, 5-10 years later, and you know, it came true. It's like, if any player says they're the best in the world, everyone's going to clown them for it, right? But he put the work ethic behind it. You know, you read so many different stories of his work ethic at United, or like him always being the first to train in, even at Juve now. It's like, I got to commend that because, you know, again, he started as just another really flashy player. There's a lot of step overs, and we see those guys every single year, but then he's the one that actually made it to the top of the mountain. So for me, from that perspective, and how much something like that means to me in terms of work ethic, I got to go Ronaldo. But that's not to say he's better than Messi. It's just like, I mean, I think we're lucky, man.
It's personal preference.
Yeah, we're lucky to just have these guys both in the same generation for this long.
You know, 100% agreed.
That's like, okay, someone wins a Ballon d'Or this year, the next year someone different. But then it's been both of them for 10 plus years consistently. Crazy.
Yeah. So do you think Mbappe is that next generation of that like Ronaldo type player that's going to take over football for the next decade?
I think so. If he has the work ethic to go with it, I think so. Because when you watch Mbappe play, you're just like, how is this kid 20 years old? I mean, he might be, what, 21 now? So, like, at the World Cup, I remember like we made the Mbappe shirt right before the World Cup. And I was like, I remember I posted on my IG, I was like, this is going to be the kid that like lights up the World Cup. It was like, oh, he's good. But I was like, no, watch it. And then look, how do you score 2 goals against Argentina? You take Messi down at 20 years old. You've already won a World Cup. And not, you weren't just like a kid that came off the bench. You were like a you know, pivotal player in that campaign. It's just like, yeah. So for me, he is the next generation. And I think Neymar too. But, you know, Neymar's got to like stay fit. But yeah, I think it's those two. Neymar and Mbappe are just generational talents.
Do you think like players like, for example, like João Felix or like Erling Haaland, obviously now at BVB, do you think that those are going to be competing with Mbappe, or do you think Mbappe is even that like step further, or that one step ahead of those other guys?
I think Felix he's got to find his consistency in his game. Like, he hasn't really done too well at Atletico this past season, in my opinion. I think he's got to find some more regular like consistency in terms of performance. Again, Haaland is just like, I think Haaland's the next great striker, right? Like, he's the next, like, Lewandowski. He's, like, the next guy in that conversation. I think time will tell if he can actually make that step up to, like, a big team. Obviously, you know, Dortmund's a big team because I can't not say anything bad about Dortmund for obvious reasons. But, yeah, I think Haaland's definitely, like, in that conversation as well. But he's definitely got to, like, you know, get to, like, a international, he's got to prove that. So I think that's the big difference. Yeah.
Cool. So let's kind of shift the conversation a little bit back to the brand. And I want to ask you what has been, it's a kind of a two-part question. What has been the most difficult thing about starting your own brand and kind of getting it up to speed? And what has been the most rewarding thing that has kind of come from you doing Live Brief Football?
Man, the most difficult thing is just like getting started and not really having the resources to really like properly put behind the brand. So I started the brand with like, I don't know, like $150, right? And just bought some t-shirts and then printed them, sold them, flipped them, just kept doing that. So trying to do it that way is very difficult to build a brand, because you need, for to build a brand and recognition, you need momentum. And a lot of that momentum requires capital, right? So starting a brand with no capital was definitely very difficult. In terms of what's been the most rewarding is honestly just seeing how much the brand means to people, right? And how like something that's basically like, you know, 6 ounces of cotton or like, you know, a pair of pants or like a pair of socks or a hat or whatever it is, like how much that means to people. And you know, again, at the end of the day, like we don't take ourselves too seriously. Like I still recognize that we're just selling clothing, but then to see people's response to the brand is, you know, we have people, you know, this guy over here in the background, like he's got our logo tattooed on his sternum right there. You know what I mean? Like our box logo. And he's not the only one. There's like 4 people that have LBF tattoos, right? Like to me, that's not a small thing. Like it means a lot, because it means that this brand, or this idea, or the idea behind the brand means a lot to people. So to create something that resonates with people in that way is definitely very rewarding, because then like it makes the days, the long hours worth it. It makes the time and the sacrifice that we put into building this thing worth it. Because you know, like, okay, there's a kid out there that like, you know, really, really loves this, and this means something to them. You know, every so often, I remember one time this lady ordered like $500 worth of stuff. And I'm like, who's this person? Like, she ordered like a ton of stuff. And in the notes section on the order, she put, my 13-year-old son won't wear anything else now. Once he's found out about your brand, like he's not wearing anything else. And so every year, every, like, you know, every school, you know, time, like, you know, school starts, like she's dropping a big order because like her kid just loves the brand so much. So like for me, it's like fuck, like, you know, this kid is like, live, breathe football, that's me. I have to have that stuff. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's definitely the most rewarding part for me, for sure.
Cool. I mean, you mentioned, like, we talked about Thierry Henry, obviously, before, and you being an Arsenal fan and him being your favorite player. Is there anybody else that you've kind of think that has been very influential for you, or like a player that you really kind of looked up to, or like just in terms of like starting your brand, like what player is there something that influenced you to do all this?
You mean like a player specifically?
Maybe. Or like if you saw, like, was it like something that you saw, like a Nike ad, for example, that you saw that kind of influenced something, or like a player that you saw wear something that influenced you?
Man. So I'm generally very observant. So like I always love like how players wear, you know, I love how like Henry would wear like his socks over his knee and things like that.
Yeah, I do too.
Because it's just like, I'm going to be different. You know what I mean? And do something that's clearly so ridiculous, but like, because it's so different, and then because it's him, it becomes cool, right? It's like, all right, fuck, like, this is, if you wear your socks over your knees, you look ridiculous, but Henry did it, and Henry's cool, so therefore it's cool, you know? But I would say a lot of my inspirations for the brand didn't actually come from soccer, right? For me, like, I'm a big fashion guy, and then growing up, like, Ralph Lauren has been my favorite brand for, like, years, right? Like my big cousins, who I was always close to, like, all they wore was Polo and Ralph Lauren. So like I was like, man, like these guys are cool, so Ralph Lauren's cool to me. And then I just loved the idea behind the Polo brand. I was just like, well, everyone wears Polo, but no one plays Polo. Like I don't know anyone who wears Polo that's played Polo before. So I always thought that was an interesting thing about the brand. So when I started LBF, I was like, man, can I make clothes that are as cool as Ralph Lauren's, but about soccer? Like that was like my real like thing. Because at the time, right, you know, either you wore a jersey to show your love for soccer, or like that was it. Like that was the only real options you had. And then you know, once in a while, like, soccer.com would have like some soccer based t-shirt, but it was like really like corny stuff. It was like stick figures. It was like very like, I was like, I would never wear that out the house, like not even in the house, you know? So I was like, man, why isn't there a brand that like just makes like Ralph Lauren type, or like even like Stussy, or just like dope brands like that you wear, that you want to wear, that you think are cool? Like why doesn't anyone make that but for soccer people, you know? Now that was really my big inspiration behind the brand. It's like, yeah, like because to me, like, soccer against a beautiful game, so like how come there isn't a brand that like just like celebrates that in like the dopest, like even if you didn't like soccer, like you want to wear this stuff. Like that's because again, Ralph Lauren polo is so cool, you want to wear it even though you've never played polo in your fucking life, you know? And so for me, like whenever people go like a ton of people wear LBF now, they don't even care about soccer. But like to me, that's a testament to the brand. It's like, okay, this piece is dope, whether or not it says Liverpool football on it. And like that is what I like. It's the fact that like it transcends the sport in a way.
Cool. Well, I think we're kind of coming down to the end of the episode. And whenever we have guests on, Tim likes to do this little rapid fire question thing. So Tim, I'm going to let you handle this last little segment for us.
Get ready.
All right. Well, first of all, it's not as strenuous as you might think. It's only a handful of questions, but the idea is you got to do it like one sentence answer, like nothing crazy. And they're pretty straightforward ones. What was it?
Is it one sentence or one word answers?
One sentence. I'll give you, most of them you could do like one word. So to be fair, you know, just make it quick. I think you'll be all right. I think you got this.
Okay.
All right. Rapid fire questions. Favorite position on the pitch?
Striker.
Checks or stripes?
Checks.
Kit number?
10.
Griezmann or Neymar?
Neymar.
Favorite cleat?
Hypervenom. Phantom 1.
Ozil or Mordic?
Ozil.
UCL or league title if you had to choose for your team?
UCL.
All right. I mean, that was it. That was it. It was painless. It was it. We just got to get to know you. That's it. That's the brief questions there.
That was good. You caught me with the boot question. I was like, ooh. I was going to say Predator Mania. Like, it's definitely a Hypervenom for me. Like, that's definitely.
That's why, you know, before we started, I for anybody, you know, for anybody who's listening to the audio and doesn't have the visual aid, I pretty much showed every boot that I own before we started this, which is a pretty decent handful. So I had to throw the curveball in there. You know, I had to, you know, cycling through in your head how many you got.
I mean, I have 7 pair of Hypervenoms at the house right now. So that's.
I think you guys
respect that. You have no idea how much we respect that on the spot.
I'm never going to be able to get these again, so I just need to stock up. So, yeah. I love the TechCraft ones. I love which ones did the Safari ones? Yeah. So,
cool. Well, look, I mean, on this podcast, we said it before, we'll say it again. There's no such thing as too many boots. So, you're always welcome here.
That's a fact, man. Actually, you know, I'm going to go home. You know those Container Store has those, like those drop front shoebox things?
Yeah.
I'm going to order a bunch of those and organize my boots this weekend. That's one of my projects, so I can just get them stacked up.
I'll tell you what we're going to do is you organize and you stack and you make it look good. You take a picture, you send them, we're going to put it up on our page and be like, he said he had a lot and he backed it up and that's all we could say.
All right. Okay. I'm going to do that. Let me see. Let me make note of that before I forget because I'm got a pretty busy rest of the day, but I'm order them and then we'll be good to go. So now it's funny too because like now so one of the stores that carries LBF, the guy will just be like, hey, I've got this in whatever, and I'll just be like, all right, cool, let me get a pair of this, let me get a pair of that. So I definitely need to. Have you seen the new Safaris that are coming out next this year?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, so we're doing a t-shirt drop that's gonna like I'll send you guys a preview in here. You can't post this. Can you send pictures in Snipe?
Yeah, you can. You go into the chat.
Yeah, there's a chat.
So while you're doing that, tell everybody where they could follow you. You're at your pages. Give everybody the rundown of where they could get any Live Breathe Football gear.
Yeah, so you can go to livebreathefootball.com. That's FUTBOL.com. But if you go to livebreathefootball.com, you'll find it as well. On Instagram, it's at LBFootball, so at LBFUTBOL. My personal Instagram is at Mr. LBF, so MRLBF. Same for Twitter, same for Facebook, all that, same thing.
Cool. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this episode. So while he sends us some sneak peeks, we're going to do our little outro. So me, Marcin, as always, you can follow me at PLUventino on Twitter. You can follow our Top Bins page on Twitter at top_bins. Follow our Instagram at Top Bins Talk. Tim, take us out.
All right. And you can always catch me at Mount Coogee on Twitter. That's or I'm sorry, Furikuji, Mount Fuji as well. You can catch me, but Furikuji, you can catch me on there as well. Footykuji. You know, we are, of course, always, and I'm going to double down on the social media. We're growing the Instagram presence just because we want to be able to provide more content outside of the episodes. That's what we're going to do, keep people informed. So, as always, it's been real. And, you know, man, I'm just, like, so stoked. We found another boot head. Like, I suck at outros because I just want to keep talking. So,
Dude, we can sit here and talk for hours, man. Like, now I'm like, oh, fuck, dude. Because I don't really get to talk about boots that much with anyone anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
All my friends are like, they're all like, oh, we're 30 now, so I'm going to stick with my Copas, my all-black hot Copas. And I'm like, dude, like, come on, man. Like, we got to, like.
We need some takeaway.
Yeah.
The takeaway has got to be, just because you hit 30 doesn't mean that you age out of being cool. So you got to make sure you.
Dude, it's like, you gotta keep it's like your I don't get how people, up. Like, bro, like, nah, you still got to be cool, man. Like, you don't just stop, you know what I mean? Like, nah, because I'm like, one of my buddies, we used to be into boots a lot together. And I'm like, yo, did you see this? He's like, oh, I haven't even checked on boots in like a year. I'm like, what?
Come on, so, man.
So for
I'm going to be 30 next year. That doesn't mean I'm going to stop buying boots.
Listen, there's a boot budget, okay? Like, I have a certain amount of money set aside for boots. Give me a second. Let me just. Oh, man.
Marcin, I think.
What's up, Tim?
Marcin, I really think you got it. You got to be the one to do the outro because we're just gonna keep talking about boots. It's the only way that this can conclude in all logic.
All right, so I'm gonna conclude the episode right here. Like I said, follow, subscribe, like our content. We'll catch you guys on the next episode. Peace, everyone.
Peace. All right, let me.